you were able to get some get traces. Yeah.
Okay. So, were you able to sort of plot a timeline of memory accesses?
Yeah,
we check the like the pattern and the numbers, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Can we? I mean, that's actually our validation, right?
Yeah.
Do we have original traces to validate against this?
Yeah, I guess follow. It looks the same.
Oh, you did look at the original traces too?
Yeah.
And it looks the same?
Yep.
I mean, we should probably, you know, put them together in the same graph. If you would have
Yeah.
But at least the shape is pretty much the same.
Yeah. And the number makes, I mean, it's precisely what we were expecting, the number of things, total number of things.
By the way, did you and Mario get access to the lab yet?
No.
You haven't got it either?
No, that's my access.
That's your access. Well, what if no one is here? Usually someone is.
Yeah, usually. And when, for example, last time, remember, we only two of us were here, like, part of me, and I left, and he left, because I don't want like, to get stuck. Oh, my computer is inside.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So that's actually very good. So what do you do? I mean, were you able to execute something every 100 microseconds or?
Yeah, actually, I was monitoring the cycles of the machine. So it's based on the CPU speed.
Okay.
I program a register to overflow every 100 microseconds, but based on cycles.
Okay.
And when that overflows, I pull up the memory misses.
Okay,
and
so this is not a timer mechanism,
it's something else.
But
this was explaining to me that it's a timer mechanism.
Effectively a timer, but it's not an actual timer.
Yeah.
But this was explaining something to me, like it's better to have this than to have a timer. I don't know why it was. Do you remember yesterday we were like...
Yeah. I don't know, because it seems like in this case, you have more control over the timer than in the other timers, I think.
That's why we decided to go that way yesterday.
And
we have the other
works,
option.
I mean, it's good, right?
Yeah, we have the other option. If we want to use a timer, we can.
Okay. One more thing I wanted to ask. Are you also printing the time when you dump the statistics?
No, because we have overflows, right? So one overflow is 100 microseconds. Two overflow, 200 microseconds. Three overflows, 200 microseconds.
True. I mean, as a sanity check. Can you
we did at least 5 sanity checks.
Okay.
We checked if the application was how much time was consuming the application.
Okay.
And I check it with application we wrote and with OpenFile. So we had like 3 checks with our application, 3 checks with OpenFile. We check the total number of misses without checking the cycles. We check only cycles and we check cycles and misses. Yeah, so we have
the control. And the total number of cycles match the execution time of the application?
Yeah, what's matching all of the 6 of them really match.
Yeah. Okay.
So now I think the next step, I mean, if you've done all the validation, that's good. That's very good, actually. And
This is our validation. This is the 6 that we brought, so I have the data. We needed to write it down in somewhere to present it or
so.
Yeah.
So have you discussed it with any of these guys?
We were, we were looking to it yesterday.
Okay,
yeah.
That's, I mean, if Ricardo has seen it, then I'm fine. You don't have to show it to me.
So, I mean, so now he's going to move to Tricks and trace it there, right?
Because so far he's been doing it on his laptop, inside a virtual machine.
No.
On real machine, okay.
Yeah, it is not possible to use the PMDs
on the virtual machine.
I spent a time doing that because I was trying to do it. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work in. That sort of makes sense, I think.
So what do you need to do? You need to patch the kernel?
We already compiled it yesterday.
No, it's done. Actually, yesterday we compiled the kernel. We have to install it and also install the library.
One library and then compile the files that actually make the trace.
Yeah. So this, the library that you're using is, well, in some sense, is architecture independent.
Well, yes, it supports for Spark, I think,
but
for Power. For
I guess my question is if you can easily move from your CPU, your laptop architecture to...
I was listening there because, this is what it supported. AMD, Intel, Spark, and Power,
Okay.
Basically those four.
Laptop is 64.
Yeah.
64 bit.
But I think,
Okay.
But yeah, if it is not like we don't have a problem because there is different versions of the library depending on the
Okay. Okay, okay, that's good. I'm glad you were able to make so much progress.
Why not taking so much progress? I was very like, oh, it's taking so much time.
No, yeah, actually, that's a good progress.
Yeah, yeah,
it was much faster than I thought.
That's, yeah. So I think the next logical step, I agree, is to move to the actual platform.
Started yesterday, yeah.
And basically do the same thing that you've already done on your laptop. And I think that once we can validate your traces or the traces with the traces we find here, because the traces actually obtained on that machine, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to validate traces obtained on that machine against executions on his laptop.
No.
Mm-hmm. No?
No, we didn't do it.
No, but I thought you said that the shapes look very similar.
I mean, no, but for follow, we expected the shape would be a box.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have change of space. And
oh,
we see the box and it's just a nice box. So.
Uh-huh. What about sequential follow?
For sequential follow, it won't be the same because sequential follow is mainly prefetched and prefetched is non-contact smith.
Mm.
Would not
count as misses.
Yes. So for that, you would have to also count prefetches.
I see. There is an event that counts everything. That is called line in or something like that.
I think we can in. We don't have to make too much work to change through events. In this case, if it is necessary, so just have to let me know what.
Because in our case, I think it's important to also take into account the prefetches.
Mm.
To be able to calculate power, for instance.
Mm.
In random, there are no prefetches, so it matches beautifully.
Mm-hmm. So, in the code that you're writing, is it possible to also count prefetch?
That's the good thing about investing a little bit of time learning how the library works, because right now we have this ability to manage more events. Or,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So you count more than one event.
Well, yeah, we can. Right now, I'm using two. I think in Intel Core, I can use 5 counters.
Mm-hmm.
That's platform dependent. It depends how many counters are in the CPU, right? Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
But you have the code for more than one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. As I told you, right now.
I mean, it won't mean any changes to your code.
Well, we have to add the find event. There is like this command that finds the event and tells the library that we're using. Yeah, basically.
So which are the two counters you're using right now?
Well, it depends. I tell you, like, that's the good, because we go from high abstraction to low.
Mm.
So I tell him, we're using these two events, and the library picks the PMDs.
Mm.
And I think right now is the 16 and 17.
Right, but what are the events?
Sorry about that. I didn't understand. Clock unhalted, like where CPU is busy, and last level cache misses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't understand.
No, that's fine.
What is the second one?
Last level cache misses.
Cache misses.
Okay.
Yeah, last level cache misses.
So that doesn't count the prefetches?
No.
I don't have an idea, sorry about that, but I don't think so.
I think there is, I think I remember one event.
I have a list of events, you want to see it?
Yeah, we can
check
it later.
Later, okay.
Yeah.
That'll be good. And, okay, so that it seems like you're ready to move on to the next phase, to work with tricks and maybe add a couple more events that we might need. For instance, the prefetch, and I don't know if you can count write evictions, for instance.
I think you can.
Yeah.
And I think AMD has much more events.
Mm. AMD? And that's an AMD?
Yeah. And probably it has more graces as well.
Oh, I see. Mm. Okay, so... So in terms of next steps, then moving on to trick, and then maybe look at some real applications. Maybe one application that is not too complex, but has some pattern that we can try to validate.
Okay.
Maybe pick one. I don't know which ones. I've been seeing a lot of Batik recently. Maybe that one.
Yeah, it's a smaller one.
It's faster to run and alive and
everything. So maybe we could go with that one first.
Okay.
So Batik is an application that, just like follow, which has more interesting characteristics, behavior. And so you just, I think in your case, you just have to change some command line to run that.
Actually, not. We launched this monitor, let's say, and we know that the parameters list is the application to monitor and the parameters the application takes. So I think we don't.
Okay, that's great. Okay, anything else, Jaime? I mean, anything else you want to talk about?
That's basically what we did yesterday, like the reason we have.
And that's what we had talked about last time.
Yeah.
So that's good. Lewis, anything you can think of?
I'm checking my notes from last time. Mm-hmm. I have here set overflow on the system every n cycle.
Okay, that's the first event that he's using.
Okay, it's perfect to simulate I don't have anything here.
Yeah,
that's it.
Can you think of anything, Carlos?
Well, about the mail I've sent, but about...
What mail you sent? Oh, that the other one. Yeah, we could certainly talk about that, but anything else for Jaime?
No, I guess they're on track.
Okay,
so you're going to review the events with him later.
Yeah, but actually I was thinking, I want to make sure that we match numbers for follow sequential.
Follow sequential first, before going on to Batik.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yes. So for that, we'll see some prefetch events or something like that.
Okay, let's do that. Okay.
So right now we're prefetch is for fetching instructions, right? No?
Data.
Just data?
Yeah.
And so what's the difference between a miss and a prefetch?
I think that a miss is the processor is trying to read something
and from
the
cache
and it's not there.
Okay.
But if there are prefetches, ahead of time they're going to be read from memory into the cache.
Without the application requesting it.
Before the application requesting
it. So that movement of memory to cache, we won't see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the event that you were talking about is last level LRU, last level cache miss.
Yes.
Right? That's just the miss events. The prefetch events are probably going to be another set of events.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So I'll look forward to prefetches.
And also look into write eviction events if there are any.
And we don't have prefetch in random because there is no nice sequential string to prefetch ahead. Any
okay.
sequential you read, so you can guess, oh, it's more likely that's going to read this next.
Who takes the kernel? Take care of that, but which model of the kernel? Like?
No, it's hardware.
Hardware?
Yeah.
The kernel doesn't know anything about anything.
The kernel does memory management, right?
Yeah, but it's a very superficial.
Okay.
Yeah, but
abstraction.
For instance, what you're doing is something that just the hardware knows. So that's why we need the hardware specific.
Yeah. That's also. I was also commenting, Luis, like. Last week, that Intel has this thing in their architecture that they can either in hardware level map a buffer in memory and buffering this result from the PMU unit directly and just notify the kernel where the buffer is full. So, it's like lower overhead, even lower overhead. Yeah, it's called precise events based sampling. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but just Intel stuff. AMD doesn't have this.
And how new has to be the?
I think since Pentium 3.
So you're saying that the events are logged directly by hardware without having?
The hardware gets a buffer and it starts just puts the events there. Yeah.
That's fine.
Without
the OS will know even less.
Just when it's full, when the buffer is full, yes.
So each time recovers more RAM.
Yeah, the interface is bad.
You should go to Intel then.
You need to find an Intel T-shirt next time. You have all the others.
Yeah.
You have Microsoft. You have NetApp. You have VMware.
No, instead I need to buy some clothes. That's what I need to.
Why buy when you can get it for free?
Yeah, well, I don't care about NetApp.
you can perhaps wear it inside out.
Inside out,
yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the email you sent.
So, I mean, you think that by changing page sizes we're pretty close, because for 60 we're actually okay, right?
And 80.
I think so, 60.
But that's not enough, right? I mean, 60 is too much memory.
We could show numbers with that. I mean, 60%, because power saving is not bad. 40% power saving is not bad.
So, I mean,
it's not as drastic as we thought originally, maybe. But for some applications, maybe we can do good even with 40%, and then there's that 60% saving. And maybe for some applications, we can do good with 20% with some of these changes with the prefetching, because that's only one application.
Yes.
We haven't looked at other applications.
So,
yeah, and actually, one thing I said in the email is that it's probably a good idea
to do the
same analysis for the rest of the
I'm running them.
Because it is nice to see in the other traces how, you know, we are in terms of...
Yeah.
Right. So, I think I want to sort of have Jaime more involved.
Okay.
Because I think it would be good to have him also in the chain of emails.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe, depending on whether you have the time, you can also attend our weekly meetings with Akshat, who is in India. So the time for that is Thursday at 10 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, very complicated. I'm sleeping at that time. I think.
No, but me too. We have to go for the same reason.
Yeah. For the same reason, right? So it would be good if I can make it. I'll make it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can find, if you can make it, you can find out details.
Okay. Thank you.
Because I can see that you're sort of restricted to this part, and maybe do not see the whole project.
The whole project. Yeah.
I think it will be more interesting even for your work if you see the whole picture.
That'd be good. Thank you.
Okay.
So, I mean, my point is that we need to get more of the SSD, right? And we are doing, I don't know how exactly.
More of the SSD?
Or more of the SSD. The SSD is not able to serve all the page loads. So, how is the thing? I mean, we tried prefetching page sizes, where you need some more fancy way of prefetching, do something special with writes, I don't know, but I at least I think the key would be to have some parallelism in there.
So, one thing. So, in how... Okay, so because those lines were timed, right? IO time.
Yeah.
IO time. Okay, so in terms of how do you calculate that time? Because
what IO time?
Base.
Just the execution time, right?
That was the IO time, no execution time. That was time spent in the SSD amount.
The number of page faults multiplied by the numbers you get.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is how much? 150 microseconds or 60 microseconds?
No, it was 200
microseconds.
4K. Yeah. But exactly, that was my point. The point is that for some reason, in FIO, it gave me that average number.
Yeah. I mean, but you ran FIO for read and write. Mixed.
No.
Just read.
That was random read.
Random read. Oh,
random. But that's weird.
Yeah.
4K, 200 microseconds, random read from SSD.
From SSD.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
I mean, even in your simulation, it was 50 microseconds.
I know.
So, I wonder what's going on here.
No idea.
And this with a Q of 1, of course.
This was with a Q of 1, yeah.
I would like to see if what happens if we increase the Q.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's the key.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's not even the problem. The problem is why I see 60 in the simulation, but 200.
No, I mean
benchmark.
I think that's a very big problem. I think we have to
figure out
what's going on.
Yeah, because if we reduce from 200 to 60, then you will see the all the lines coming down a lot.
Yes.
Right?
So maybe we are inside the range.
Even
right?
Even for 40%.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think I need to figure that out.
Okay. So yeah, that could be...
Yeah, the other thing is that, well, I was planning to discuss this on next Thursday, but I think probably it was yesterday or Monday, we were doing a lot of tests in terms of what was it, in terms of there was page faults, and the page size, mainly page size. So we were running a lot of experiments, changing the page size in the simulator. And
our numbers didn't match.
Yeah, our numbers didn't match. I don't know if you remember the results that Ricardo got from his simulator.
Yes, I do remember. Yeah. I mean, the page size went up, the execution time
exactly.
went up,
yes.
And then it started going up.
Right. Well, in my case, the figure has the same shape, but the lowest point is much more in the left. In fact, what happened was that...
But what about the lowest value? What is the lowest value matching with his value?
The lowest?
Number of page faults.
Y-axis.
Number of page faults.
No, the time.
Or time, yeah.
No,
I think it wasn't.
No.
Yeah, but for instance, what I was saying is that in the case of Batik, again, we have 4K, and with 4K we have a page fault rate of 0.1%.
Okay.
Once I increase the page size to 8K, we had a page fault ratio of 0.06%. So it was reduced by half. But the catch is that the latencies were duplicated. It went from 70 microseconds to 140 or 120 more or less.
Wow.
Right, so at the end we had exactly the same execution time because the I/O time was exactly the same.
Interesting.
The other thing we found is that the execution time is much better when we have the flush on. If we disable flushing, it's even worse.
But what about the thresholds? I mean, did you?
No, I didn't play with thresholds. Thresholds too much.
That might be something to play with, to control the amount of flushing and see what happens. Is there sort of a sweet spot for the flushing as well? The other thing which I was going to say, which I think I mentioned in my email, is to try out the aggressive version of the playback.
Yeah.
So that we can have, like Ricardo said, multiple
items
in the queue.
I haven't implemented that. And actually, I think that's very hard to implement because now we have multiple sets. Running at the same time servicing one request, right?
And what I was thinking to this is that, I mean...
Not one request. Each thread can do a different request. Each thread can do a different page fault.
Right, but, we don't need... It's not like we create one thread per page fault, but one thread per access. Right? Or something like
if
that.
If you use asynchronous I/O.
Or a thread pool. So you can create a pool of threads and just pass
those
to...
That makes sense. But now I could have as many threads running as outstanding requests I could have, which would be huge. So now I have a lot of concurrency. Right, even much more than I had before.
But you could, for instance, limit the amount of concurrency. So, for instance, let's restrict the queue depth. Say it was async with a queue depth of 8, and see what happens. So that you will have only 8 threads at a time. So the next time there is a page fault and none of the threads are available, you stop.
No. I mean, once I implement for 2 threads, it doesn't make any difference 2 or 100 threads.
I know, but I'm saying that limit the maximum queue, outstanding I/O.
Okay.
Maximum number of outstanding I/O, because that's one way to sort of control how much parallelism you have in the system. Right?
But I don't see how that, how does that help?
in a
that helps because then you do not have a really large number of threads to deal with and or really large number of IOs.
That's fine. But that's not my concern. My concern is implementing the multiple threads.
Why?
Because then I have to check where I need locking, right?
Yeah, I don't think you need locking that much. In fact, I don't think you need any locking. Because you, what I was going to suggest is that you create a, let's say, a pool of 10 threads
okay.
that are just service threads that only do I/O.
Okay.
And then the main thread which is executing is that's the only thread that's going to communicate with each of the other threads.
Okay.
And that gives work to each
okay.
guy. And okay. we can have a variable within that is shared for each thread which says whether this thread is doing any work or not.
Yeah, but then that thread will do things inside. Like for instance for every thread I have an access, right? So if I have an access, I need to change the LRU. And then
no,
I need a locking for LRU, right? Those kind of things. That's
I
what
see.
I'm talking about. So there are a lot of data structures which are shared,
mm-hmm.
You know, to...
Can you serialize those changes so that only one thread does that?
With locking. Right. That's the only way to serialize.
No, I mean,
probably it's not, I don't know, probably it's not complicated, because at the end I also have the flushing and the cleaning running in parallel. So I have, in fact, I have a lot of locking going on right now,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much... you know,
additional
how much
locking.
Additional complications this will have.
Did you guys get to see the video I sent with the followers here? Did
no,
I send you at all?
Yes. But
no, I couldn't watch it.
That's interesting.
It's a presentation or what is it?
It's a talk on using multi-core. Anyway,
it's a paper or?
Yeah,
or
once you've seen the video, then we can talk.
Okay.
Okay, but yeah, I think, I sort of agree with Ricardo that there are only a few things that we can do to improve the situation. One is to increase the queue depth somehow. We are already exploring the change of the page size, but that doesn't seem very promising. So to say that
yeah.
the page size, the latency linearly increases with the page size.
Yeah.
In terms of, and I was thinking in terms of performance, where we saw the most benefit for SSD was changing QDEBs, right? You were working a lot of them. You saw a lot of benefit in terms of performance, right? Throughput especially.
No, usually the bandwidth of the SSD varies a lot with the request size.
Well, that's our page, right?
But I don't remember doing any evaluation in terms of about sending IO for the SSD because at the time we only had single request SSDs. We didn't have any NCQ SSDs.
We had this one is NCQ, right? So could we quickly check with FIO what happens if we increase the IO
sure.
size?
The other thing is that in the case where you increase the page size, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how easy it is to do this, but what should ideally happen is that you, when a page fault occurs, you want to fetch multiple pages. I mean, we are sort of simulating prefetch by increasing the page size.
Right.
But ideally, we should simulate, do more careful prefetch, which is if there is a page fault, get that page and the next few pages. But once you get the faulting page, you should return back to the application so that it can issue more page faults and then the background prefetch those pages. Right. So that automatically increases the queue depth because you have outstanding I/O when more page faults occur. So I don't know how easy it is to do something like that instead of, multiple IOs. There might be an
simpler maybe in your code.
Yeah, I don't know how simple it is.
Yeah, but that's something you can think about. Because prefetch will allow some additional parallelism. If prefetch goes on in parallel with the original application execution. The other thing, I think more fundamental and very drastic change is to say that, okay, I mean, this sort of hybrid memory systems are not going to use SSDs, but rather they will use onboard flash of some kind. I think, I'm trying to remember, there was a company which was selling flash disks.
Flash beams?
Yeah, flash disks that you can stick inside the motherboard.
It addresses them as RAM?
I'm not sure how you would address them, but but they were selling flash DIMMs, essentially, NAND flash DIMMs, and I don't think you can bite address them.
I have another question. I mean, you were saying that the request size makes a lot of difference in SSD, so how come we're seeing a linear trend?
Because it makes a difference in terms of throughput.
Throughput.
No, in terms of latency.
Yeah, in terms of latency, it's the same. So I should be calculating my numbers not with latency. Should be using the throughput numbers.
But in the case of a page fault, I mean, it makes sense to calculate with latency because of a page fault.
Oh, it's serialized.
Yes.
Yeah. Serialized.
Only one request.
Yes. Right. Sure. Yeah, that's true. And, well, that goes to something more fundamental, which is, I mean, some workers will have multiple page faults. Like, for example, in Ruby, there are hundreds of simultaneous threads.
Right.
In a couple of others, like Postman, there is only one thread.
Mm.
And the simulation, we don't know anything about those dependencies, about parallelism. So, I mean, a couple of options would be to move on to the real implementation, or, I mean, just make some assumptions. For some workloads there is parallelism, and some workloads there is not, or just report numbers with all combinations.
Mm. Yeah, which is why we sort of have these three replay modes, right?
Yes.
Aggressive, conservative, and ordered. And I think what we're doing right now is ordered.
Yes.
But we could explore aggressive further. And if we can, if that implementation is too hard, then I don't know if it's more difficult than a kernel rewrite of the virtual memory system. Probably not. Right? To get the aggressive implementation of the simulator.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to check.
It's unlikely that it's going to be.
Yeah, somebody, I don't know, because I know that the Kara has, you know, explored a lot in the real implementation.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be not that hard.
Yeah.
Okay. But you put the kernel, you never know, right? Scary.
The stability is always the issue.
Yes.
How do you make it not crash for a long enough period of time so that you can run experiments?
Or you can crash 1 second after the current, but not before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, but I mean, it seems to be not that complicated.
Mm.
But again, I mean, we would be moving to the real implementation just because we could have parallelism. Right.
Yeah.
So first we need to check if that will actually
save
us,
true.
Right?
Yeah. Probably one thing we can do is to check if parallelism works in the simulation, then we're done.
So
can we do FIO in parallel mode? Like multiple requests outstanding?
Yeah, actually that's one of the features of FIO. So,
so we could try with that too. Right. And see whether that makes a difference in terms of...
Yeah, I can do this plot where I have bandwidth,
mm-hmm.
I can do the bandwidth and latency plot with...
number of threads.
With the number of outstanding ads, not threads.
Latency will increase, but throughput will decrease.
Latency will
increase,
throughput will increase till some point.
Yes. But now we're concerned about execution time, not latency. So we are concerned about our execution time, not about latency, exactly.
We are concerned about the execution
time. So throughput is the key.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
mean, it could we sort of estimate how much overhead is incurred because we are talking to an SSD and
the
bus
controller
and the stack
and the stack and also the bus. I don't know. We have a data sheet for the flash.
For the SSD. We have data sheet for the SSD and we probably have data sheet for the chips
itself. Yeah.
These people that you said that send them for teams, they report numbers?
No.
They don't.
Report price.
Right. The price is paid, but...
No, it's not completely crazy, but I mean, first of all, I don't even know how you would use them. I just saw that they were selling them.
How expensive is do you remember these SSDs that were not CDLGA, but were PCIe Express? Flash something flash?
No. Yeah, that's the PCI Express card.
Right. How expensive is that now?
That was very expensive at that time.
I remember that it was very expensive, but that was at least 1 year ago.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that company is still surviving. It probably is, but it's just that all of that stuff may be integrated with some other high-end products like NetApp. They're selling flash cache thing within their... I think Jorge will remember that.
George.
Yeah.
You remember the name of the flash, the PCI Express flash?
Or
Fusion IO.
Fusion
IO. There's that one and there's OTC.
There's a new one.
OTC.
Yeah.
They also do the same thing?
Yeah, but that one is significantly cheaper.
Significantly cheaper. OZC.
Yeah, OTZ. Yeah, it's like $300-$400 per 80 gigabytes.
So maybe we can
buy
one.
The other one is like 3,000.
Maybe we can buy one of those instead.
And the performance is good or?
It's like half of the other one.
I mean, latency is half?
No, the performance, the right performance. This one is
I'm talking about this technology versus SSD.
It's an SSD,
but it doesn't have a SATA connection and SATA protocol. It's a sort of fake SATA, right?
Yeah.
It's fake SATA because the device
doesn't
need
a driver.
Right.
You need a specific driver.
Right.
But I guess the point is that the PCI Express bus is a lot faster than CDLGA.
Yeah.
Right.
But do you have any sense for what the latency differences are?
The Fusion IO is very fast, very, very fast. You could get easily like 700 megabytes per second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this one?
From one. I don't know.
We have some money to buy one of these if you want. I mean, that's one of the alternatives.
I buy that company every day because it was... From where the bus dropped me to the hotel.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah.
Fusion IO?
No.
Obviously.
Fusion IO, I think, is in Utah.
Oh, I see. Okay. But you worked with both those devices?
No. That one I know it exists.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it's significantly cheaper.
I can find out more. And also, I guess, important in this case is the power consumption of this device.
Mm-hmm.
The Fusion IO is very, very expensive. It's like $3,000 to $5,000.
I think one of the other issues with these devices is that they use a lot of DRAM, right? I mean, the Fusion IO probably.
They run a couple of DRAMs to do the cleaning and all that because they don't have an internal processor. They use
since there is multi-core, I think it's fine to use a couple of processors.
There is an issue. I mean, let's say you buy an 80 gigabyte card, and you can set it to use 60 gigabytes.
Hmm.
so that you have some extra
for cleaning,
space for cleaning, which makes it significantly faster. If you use the whole 80 gigabytes, it's a lot slower.
I see.
Probably half of the speed that you can achieve with the less smaller.
Okay. Okay, so that may be another possibility for us to go.
Maybe
I should order one right away, just to have it anyway, because it cannot be complete with if we order it, I think. Right.